welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I'm joined, it's a two-manner again, Gary Bailey. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm glad you could be here, mate, because nobody really wants an hour-long podcast of me talking to myself, do they? I don't think that's going to be that good.
Well, it's, but you're here. It depends on what you do.
I mean, talk to myself.
If you put on funny voices, then maybe.
I'm not. But... this late in the year, I'm not going to be doing this. This is actually the last regular podcast that you're going to get in 2018. Next week, Game of the Year starts for us, and there is actually one podcast after Game of the Year, but I'm not going to say anything about that. But you know, listen, there might only be two of us, but don't worry, because I'm smashed. Hey, Gaz.
Well, yep. I'll give you that one.
You'll allow it. Smash Brothers Ultimate is out. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is out. And while I don't think that, you know, Gaz, you haven't played it, so we're not going to spend a long time talking about it.
No.
I have played some of it. I haven't, unfortunately, had enough time to really like spend hours yet. But I will say, and you might want to sit down for this, Smash fans, Adam Cook likes it. I like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate a whole lot. I really like the. Do you know what? I'm going to get the bad out of the way first. How is there no tutorial in this game?
There's no tutorial?
None at all. There's like a practice zone where you can just jump in and smash buttons against an enemy that doesn't do anything. But there's no. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not going to lie to you. Because I've dabbled in Smash but never really got into it, I completely forgot for the first hour that there was a grab button. Or a block button. But there is. It was only when I was like, you know what, I wonder if there's a tutorial to see what the controls are. And I was like, oh. And then I thought, well, I wonder if there's like a move, because every character does a move, a different move, depending. It's context sensitive. So if you're jumping and you press down and smash button or whatever, you'll do a different attack than if you're pressing right and attack. You know, it's all context sensitive attacks. I was quite surprised because I quite enjoy Kirby, because I do like his hammer attack where you can just, because when you do get them down to low, you know, well, the high percentages, you get them up, I guess, to the high percentages of damage, and you absolutely annihilate them with a hammer. They just fly.
That was one thing that always like just confused me about Smash Bros. In general, just the way
the percentage thing.
Yeah, it just yeah. I never quite worked out exactly how it works.
Do you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I 100% know it, but I think that once you get past 100% damage, they're easier to knock out of bounds. I think once you hit 200%, if you hit them hard enough, they just automatically go out of bounds.
Right.
There are modes in this that actually just give you a health, well, not a bar, but you start on 100% and you take damage, so you go down. It's a health bar. There are certain modes like that. I don't know if that's new, because again, not a huge fan.
How's the? Yeah, is it World of Light?
Tell you any of that stuff. World of Light, I really like, actually, because it adds. I thought it looked a bit lame, but I actually really like it, because you not only is it, you know, you start out just doing one-on-one fights or sometimes one-on-five fights. You know, it's a hectic game.
Yeah.
I find it fine in handheld, by the way, which is surprising. I thought it would be too much going on too small a screen, but I quite like it. But the spirits thing is interesting, because it basically, you have one spirit that buffs you, like that makes your overall power level higher, and then you can add other spirits to it that kind of add things to you.
Okay.
So, for example, one of them, I don't know if you always get them early on, but the one I got early on anyway, like it draws items to you if you're near it, you know, the grab range, so to speak, it sucks items towards you. Another one like will give you like more power with your up attack if you're wielding a sword. And they also have kind of like, say, for example, you know the Guardian in Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
That one takes up two slots. I think, don't quote me on that. And the starting spirit I had only gave me two slots, but then I put Waluigi amiibo on, and he's actually quite powerful. Pro tip for you guys, if you've got the Waluigi amiibo, he's quite powerful as a starting level one spirit. It's like he was 3,000 power nearly at level one when I had like a 3,000 at level 70. You know what I mean? So but he gave me three slots, so I can equip the Guardian and one of the other ones that had a one slotter. You're constantly unlocking and leveling up. And on top of that, you get items in battles that you can then feed them to level them up quicker. So it's like there's a lot more than you think. Do you know what I mean?
It sounds quite deep. I mean, in a way, it almost sounds like a sort of a Diablo sort of thing. You know, when you like constantly move, you know,
you're
constantly getting new items to help you get, well, kick the shit out of things, basically.
The only thing I think is going to throw some people off, and I'm not going to, the thing is, I feel like Nintendo went so heavy on the marketing for this, like the Smashes, the Direct, sorry, that showed you every part of the game.
Yeah.
I feel the problem with that is I almost went blind, you know, I went Smash blind. And I was quite surprised, I mean, I heard about it, but I was quite surprised when I saw it that you basically start with like 3 or 4 characters and you have to unlock all the other characters.
Well, I mean, I thought there'd be quite a lot at least unlocked from the start.
No, from what I remember, there was Mario, Kirby, I want to say Link, but I'm not actually sure now I think about it. I'm sure there were a few.
Yeah.
Just a few. And like it's kind of like a new challenger approaches. You beat them and then they're unlocked, but you also unlock them via World of Light. You know, if you play the game, you're unlocking them a decent clip. And I think some people are going to have a problem with that. I actually think it works because what I found myself doing was I was learning Mario and I was learning Kirby, found that I preferred Kirby of the two, and then I unlocked, I think, Villager. So I was like, well, I'll have a go with him later because I'm still getting to go, you know what I mean? And then I think I unlocked someone else. And it was interesting because they are all different and there's definite matchups going on here. There's definite, like, I think you can see pick and counter pick. Do you know what I mean? Oh, he's picked Mario. I'm going to pick. Well, I don't know what the counter pick would be to Mario yet, but I think there's an element of that. You know, like Villager was actually quite good against Kirby because as Kirby, I wanted to get in and just do damage and smash him because Kirby can use. You can also suck them up and take their ability so that when like your special attack is their special attack. So if you suck Mario up. I don't know how to say it. But there's no other way of saying it. You suck Mario off and you can throw fireballs now. The attention to detail in this game is incredible. Absolutely astonishing. Like, you know, you suck Mario in and now Kirby's got a hat on, Mario hat, and all these tiny little details and the little flavour text and the music and the sound effects. It is genuinely an incredibly impressive package that I am going to keep playing. I think it sounds
very Nintendo. Yeah, so they do tend to love more of the newer Nintendo stuff. Anyway, there's been a lot more attention to detail thrown in.
I mean, I think it's their best game this year. I'm trying to think what else. You know, Mario Tennis was good, but I think this is by far their best game. And I sort of now get why they have put so much stock in it. And I don't think it's going to change people's minds, but it has. You know, I played the Wii U Smash and people were saying it was all similar in that. You know, the menus still aren't great and there's still some weird Nintendo-y stuff in that they just don't seem to make things easy the way other developers do. I mean, it's Namco Bandai, isn't it? Or Bandai Namco, whichever way that actually develop it. But I do feel like, I know he says it's his last Smash every time, but like, where do you go?
That's it. I mean,
you know, where do you actually go from here?
I mean, you've called it Ultimate.
Yeah.
That, and it you know, is, that by definition is the end, essentially. But it's like, considering what they've done when it's like, basically, here's every character that's ever been in Smash.
Mm.
It and does
ones,
feel
and
like...
loads of, like, Gaz, the characters that aren't playable, but that are spirits. Like, I can't pull one right now, but they're just... I'm quite an old man in the games industry. In terms of playing games, I'm an older person, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess now, like, gaming was coming around when I was a kid, and there are characters that you unlock as spirits. You know, they're not playable, but they're your spirits, so they're in the game, so to speak, but they're not playable, that are like, I'm having to look them up because they're such deep cuts in terms of, not Nintendo, gaming.
Yeah.
Like, they're in such deep cuts, I can't remember who they are. I see a picture and I'm like, that looks familiar, but I'm going to have to Google it because I just don't know who it is. Like, we're talking, I'm pretty sure there's like a Master System character, stuff like that, you know.
The only ones that I know of off top of my head is, like, I think Shovel Knight's one of them Shantae is one of them. I remember that being quite a big thing, which was quite nice. But yeah, I mean, I struggle to remember things from yesterday. So try to remember characters that are like 20 years old, I'll probably be like, I don't know.
Well, let's just move then from something that you're struggling to remember something and a game that I didn't expect to like, but kind of tentatively I love. Again, I need to play more of it. To the Devil May Cry 5 demo, which was announced as an Xbox One sort of demo thing. And it's about 8 gig, downloaded it on the old X and had a play of that. And, you know, what were you expecting, Gaz? What are you expecting from Devil May Cry 5?
I genuinely don't know, because, I mean, gameplay-wise, it looked like DMC.
Doesn't play like it.
Really?
Not at all.
I keep forgetting that this demo exists, and I keep going, oh, I'll download it every time someone mentions it, and then it just goes from my head when it actually comes to turning on my Xbox. But I want to play this demo.
The thing is, right, the fans of this series are scary. Like, the reason DMC didn't sell was that it felt like it was boycotted, despite, I'm going to say it again here, the being the best Devil May Cry game in the series.
I'm with you on that.
I think a lot of people on this podcast are.
Yeah.
I think that they know that that's the best DMC playing this.
Really?
Because there's like, I feel like there's quips that are like trying to be okay. That Ninja Theory's DMC, like the kind of attitude. It's always had that. It's not like Ninja Theory would, you know, develop and created that sort of DMC attitude, but I feel like this is trying to borrow from it, and that feels a little bit strange, because like when you load it up and it's got the exact same menu noise that Devil May Cry has always had.
Yeah.
But then there's this weird mishmash, and I have to say, up front, I think this is probably a case of a very bad demo of a pretty good game. Like, they have specifically altered the way the game plays. Like, there are cutscenes that they have deliberately, it loads and you know it's loading to cut the cutscene out, because obviously it's a demo and they don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the demo is a boss battle, and that's the best bit of the game. The boss battle's excellent. It's huge and it's like environmental and there's lots going on. But at the end of it, like, it cuts and it's like, you know damn well there is a cutscene, because he fires like the last bullet at the boss, but you don't see what happens. And there's another scene like that earlier in the demo where it cuts. It's a very short demo. It feels early-ish in the game, I would say. There's the whole Devil Breaker thing, which I'm not sold on, but again, it's really hard to tell. The one thing I will say is that it doesn't feel right to me. It feels strangely slow. Like, it feels like it should be quicker.
Right, yeah.
And I've done a bit of a Google, and a lot of people, like a lot of the fans of the series, are saying similar, because it is, they used to play it on Turbo, like the previous games, but this feels oddly slow. Like, it doesn't tell you combos, it doesn't even tell you how to airlift. And of course, if you've played the series, you know, but to everyone else, I think they're going to come away thinking it's a button masher.
Yeah.
And it's not. And the demo has not done a lot for me, if I'm honest with you. It's left me worried that this is going to be neither a new DMC or fully a new Devil May Cry. You know, like, it feels like it's...
Maybe like they're trying too hard to sort of please everyone, or trying to do something different without going too far because of what happened to DMC.
You know, in DMC, there's the bit where he is naked at right at the early of the game and he goes through the camper van and it's sideways on. They do the same scene, but in a different way. Like, the boss, when you encounter it, throws this massive camper van that... Like, the doors open and it lands just in a way that he walks straight through it and out the other side. And to me, that either feels like a nod, which is weird because you're the original developer of the game, a nod, or it feels like you're an acknowledgement. And either way, that feels weird to me. Like, I don't, you know, I actually expected him to come out of the door with a wig on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was that bizarre. Like, I really tried to play it with an open mind, and because I find it hard to divorce myself from the fact I just desperately want Ninja Theory to make a DMC 2. It's never happening now.
No.
But at the same time, something about this demo felt off to me. And although I still am very excited to play 5, because, you know, I love the series, something about it doesn't feel right. and it feels like oddly floaty when you're in the air, like there's low gravity, but also slow when it comes to hitting enemies. So I will reverse. Hopefully there'll be another demo. I can imagine this being a game that gets another demo.
I'm sure that the trailer that they had at the Game Awards did say like the first demo is available exclusive on Xbox. So
but it's just this is the demo that I think apart from the cutscenes being cut that everyone's been sort of raving about from being played at trade shows and that. And I'm just left wondering, like, have people played this series before? Because it doesn't feel right. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it looks amazing. And running at 60 frames, like, it just looks incredible. But to me, it doesn't feel right. And I haven't, you know, I only played it today. I've yet to be able to 100% identify the exact issue. But to me, as I say, it feels weirdly floaty when you're in the air and slow when you're on the ground.
I'm
maybe in my head
to
I'm comparing. Yeah, just I'd like to hear what you think, actually. I would, because I just, again, can't quite put my finger on what feels wrong about it, but still excited to play the final game. Because again, you take a level like this out of the middle of the game, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, it could even be. Yeah, it could well be that way. It's just taken from a place in the game which you're already supposed to know. You know, various
and
things.
Like, there's even a section where like the minibus comes along that I forget the name of the character, but the girl this driving,
yeah,
and it even says, oh, in the main game, this is where you can use your red souls to level up, and it's like, why don't you know what you're hiding? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it seems like an odd one. Like they've cut the wrong part out of the game as a demo.
Maybe
it's weird. That sounds very odd. But I still, yeah I definitely want to play it.
I really think you should try it. I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, it's a free 8 gig demo. Why not?
Yeah.
Give it a go. It's not long. I think it's probably half an hour. The boss fight's excellent. Really good boss fight. I'd like to have had a bit more time to get to grips with the new mechanics before then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other game I've been playing that you have also been playing is Just Cause 4. And I think you like it more than I do because I think I find this game incredibly disappointing because it has the potential, like buried underneath the muck, is a game of the year contender.
Right.
But there's just so much about it that needs... there's a lot about it that feels budget. Like, the movement is amazing. The grapple stuff is very complicated at first, but once you get your head around all the modifications and stuff, it's amazing. Like, you know, you quickly start to realise that using the retract mod is actually one of the quicker ways to do things. Like, you know, fire two things together and they just pull towards each other and explode, you know, that sort of stuff. Whereas originally I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep using Fulton balloons with heat, hydrogen and blow them up. And that's actually the slower way to do it. But they all have their own, you know, ways of doing it. You know, there are stunts like with a car that you have to go through in a certain car. And they're like, by windmill was the one I spent ages trying to do. The idea is, I think, that you have to kind of fly up there by putting balloons on your car or using the retract mod. I never did it, but I will probably still go back and do it. and that stuff's all amazing. Like wingsuiting around, like chaining the grapple to the, you know, to the wingsuit into the, it all still feels amazing. But those main missions are fucking awful. It's like terrible. Like, it is not fun to drive cars in this game. There's no reason when you can essentially fly that you're being given main missions where you have to get in a car, wait for two AIs to get in with it, drive to a location, get out, kill something, blow something up, or, you know, one of the two, we'll get back to your car, wait a painful amount of time for them to get back in the car because they just, their pathfinding's bad, drive to the next location, do that again 5 times. And, like, why am I, Rico Rodriguez, driving these AI around? Get someone else to train them. It's just bad. Like, why is that in the game? Why do they think when you can basically fly, you would want to drive around in a car?
Yeah, there is a lot of kind of like filler seeming content. You know, it's
a lack of creativity, mate. That's what bugs me. Like, in a game that is all creativity, it's amazing in the I feel like the open world is not very. There's not much curated content.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all about, hey, make your own fun. And that's amazing, I reckon, for 10 to 12, maybe 15 hours. But then eventually, like, well, you put a story in it, I want to progress it, I want to complete the game. And then every mission, if it's not like that, and it's not a bad car mission, then it's a mission that involves you going to a console, that then tells you to go to another console and then another console. Or even worse than that, there are missions where you have to defend a console because it's being remote hacked. And then there's one of them that's a story mission where it's on like a on a platform where there's no cover and there are towers all around you, helicopters coming in, and you can't even take to the skies and get a helicopter because it's too far from the hack.
Yeah.
And you're just being pummeled by shots, rockets, snipers, everything. And it's like, why are you giving me the tools to create mayhem and then giving me a story mission that doesn't let me use any of them? And that and the game feels full of those completely lacking the creativity missions like that. I feel that all the story missions are just so lacking in creativity.
I do think once you sort of start into the weather stuff, that's when it opens up, but it still kind of suffers from the same. It's almost like the original Assassin's Creed. You remember how it was kind of like three missions essentially just looped over and over?
Like really little variations that change them. That you feel like they thought changed it enough, but to the player it's like, no, this is still the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing here, but I think the thing that elevates this sometimes, literally, the you know some of the open world stuff, and like I say, when you get the extreme weather hitting everything,
the lightning stuff is genuinely frightening. Like with the lightning striking, that's like a real stark reminder that although he's a massive bullet sponge and he's a hard man, he's not actually invincible because holy shit. But that's the other thing. I feel like there's a deeper problem in this game that they actually know those missions are boring because it does things that no other games do. Like the checkpoints are ridiculously kind to you.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was good for me when...
Oh, same. But it feels weird, right?
Yeah. But like when, obviously, like, you know, I had like some issues with crashing on the PC version. Oh, yeah. That was good because it was like, oh, okay, cool. I've only lost like a few minutes, you know, or sometimes really lost anything.
So I feel like actually when you die, you just spawn again and it's like nothing's changed. It's exactly where you left it when it spawned.
Yeah.
So when you die. So you die and it's just literally like next life and like you don't actually lose any progress, I feel like.
Yeah, it's almost like the original Bad Company that did that, didn't it?
Mm-hmm,
like you died, but all it was you respawn a few meters back, you know, and it's just all the stuff you were doing is already done. You're just literally just continuing on.
I mean, I like a lot about it. I like a lot about it, but I just feel like the curated content's really poor. And I do have to draw attention to the cutscenes. Like, what is going on there?
I definitely think that you saw worse than I did.
It's like, terrible.
It was poor when I played it, but it seemed to improve, whether that was through a patch. There were one or two patches pre-release. Mm. Whether it was just because maybe it was either the PC version or it could be because that was 1080p rather than...
It's not all of them. And... I'd say it's most of them, but there are a couple of cutscenes that are fine, but some of them are so, so bad.
It's just really, really
compressed. It's like watching a YouTube video on 3G.
Yeah. It was weird because I don't know if you found this actually, but sometimes when you got into the cutscene, it's like, oh, this looks in the engine.
Yeah.
But then another cutscene or further into that same cutscene, it just looked really compressed. Like you're watching a video, like
almost like it made me feel like they hadn't finished it. It made me feel like they were told, you haven't got a time to do a third pass, get the game out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of, I'll be honest, like that, like I did love this game, as you know, and like,
there are times, I mean, I couldn't stop playing it.
Yeah,
I will say, for all its flaws, I couldn't stop. Like it was just,
I think
it was my sort of my playful mind, as it were, that compelled me more than anything else.
Yeah,
you know, it was seeing
like what
how
you could
much
do.
More I could. I mean. Like, the helicopters are still brilliant. They were in 3. They were always... The helicopter... It's really difficult to be like, oh, no, I better just go and do something because it's so... Like, if you get a helicopter, an enemy helicopter with rockets or a machine gun, it's like, you're just going to destroy things.
Absolutely.
But they also... I just think the game's really needlessly complicated. Like, it does not explain itself. Like, there are sections where I was texting you, like, I don't get it. Why am I unable to progress the story?
Yeah.
And it's like, it just... doesn't explain itself. Yeah, it the whole pushing enemy line stuff is really odd.
Yeah, because it's like, I get what they were doing with that, but it was the fact that it didn't really quite tell, you know, like you say, it doesn't really quite tell you how to, because obviously you've got to get squads to be able to push the front line, but you've also
squads
got to
are arbitrary. You just get them if you do a mission.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a like an explanation of how you get squads, you know, or why you get squads just for doing this, that, or the other. Sometimes it was like, oh, you're going rescuing people. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. You know, you rescue people, they join your cause, there's a squad. But others,
you've just got some data from the Black Hand Gang or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Black
You get some Black data Hand, from their computers and you've just got two new squads and you can push onward and do a new mission. It's like, you know, I just, again, in a game that revels in chaos, there's another mission that stands out to me, which you fly a plane to an airport with, I've forgotten her name, is it Mira? I will say the characters are so forgettable in this.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
Her name's Mira.
The character designs were good. Like, she looks like they look like real characters, kind of, you know. Like, but
I suppose.
But like you say, the actual, I mean, to be fair, the story I think was kind of forgettable as well. But
they always are. But
yeah, it's
but, like, this
not
mission
about
that. Though. You get in a plane with her, little plane, and I went to take off, and my plane clipped a little bit of the ground, so I just blew up, and that was funny. And then the thing is, I restarted and did the mission again, and I landed at the airport, and then it's like literally the mission is taxi Mira to the airport, and it's just that's what it is, and it's like, why are you doing this? You know, and it just.
There was one point where it was like, we're going to, I think it's like teaching you about the drop-off stuff. And I was like, okay, right, it's going to drop you off at this place. You go there, your contact is on the top of this building. Okay, cool.
That's right.
Get to it, and then it's like, where's the helicopter? Oh, I thought you were bringing one. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Why you stood at a helipad?
How did you get in this part? But that again, that whole system of like the fast travel system, like you explained it, and it does make sense. The what would you call it? The drop off system, like you say, where you can use your pilots to drop equipment off to you.
Yeah.
Again, it seems really odd. Like you pick a helicopter that has like three slots, but it's not slots. It's actually three uses, and they recharge. But at the same time, each pilot has to recharge. And at some point, I'm thinking, why can't I just create a loadout where this person drops me off a Jeep that's got a gun? And this, you know, why am I having to use, like, get him to drop that gun off to me, get her to drop off a crate, and get him to drop me off a helicopter? Why have I got to do all this? It just...
Yeah, I think after a very short time, I was just like, I'm just picking up guns in the field and just... Because, I mean, to be fair, it does give you plenty of weapons.
And the weapons are great.
Yeah,
I mean, all of their custom, like the secondary fires, is great. Like the wind cannon and the electric gun.
Lightning gun was amazing.
Oh. Yeah,
the secondary fire of that basically starts a mini storm.
Oh, right,
because I found that out by accident. I did it, and then
that's what was happening.
Yes,
I've just found that out right now. I wonder why they were getting lightning storms.
I think I found it out. It was like there was a mission where it was like it's like a harbour, and I was like using some of the enemy boats. And at this point, I was like, right, I've got to get out of here now. So I nabbed a boat, but I was like, right, at first I shot this, and then I got in a boat and carried on, and then suddenly. Boats and helicopters all around me were just exploding from like lightning strikes, and it's like, right, so that's what that did. You know, it was really quite
wow.
I mean, I think the lightning is like one of the best things in it.
Yeah,
When it starts and you just got that is pure chaos when that happens.
Yeah,
and I did love that. It's an odd game because it's like I see all the flaws in it, but. I think just some of the stuff when it really does it right, it really clicks, and you just find that you want to keep playing.
Yeah, like it is very Moorish.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I feel like there is a point, and for me, it was around about 10 hours where I was like, okay, I want to start pushing onward, and then it was around the 15-hour mark where it's like, I've really had enough of your style of mission, man. Really had enough.
Yeah.
And I think that combined with a lot of the other fact, I think it needed 6 months personally. It was, I feel like it was rushed out for the Christmas period sort of thing, and I feel like it needed... Yeah, I think it needed another 5 to 6 months of, polish.
It was kind. It was almost like it was finished on release day. So, almost, but, you know, again, what I mean? It's weird.
We will move on, but the other thing I was going to say is take the... Again, sorry, it's so forgettable, the characters and story. The guy who is like an ex-criminal and he's trying to preserve the artifacts and stuff. And so you go and find him. Again, for some reason, it makes you fly a plane. It's like, I could just wingsuit over it, but no, you've got to fly a plane. Fine. So you find him. And then because this is how you learn about the retract mod for your grapple.
Yeah.
And you pull a switch and it sets off like a Tomb Raider style ball rolling underground. And then you have to get that ball into a puzzle hole that opens it up and lets you solve that mission. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Hello. They're finally doing it. And I thought, and I got to a point where I was like, I have no missions to do. And I saw that there was some of his available. So I thought, well, I'll go to the area it's suggesting and fly around. And I fly around and I found it. And there's a big cave. And it's exactly the same thing again. You find a switch, you pull a switch, the ball rolls down, you use your retract grapple to roll the ball straight into the hole, and it unlocks a tomb where there's a puzzle solved. It's exactly this. Like, even that one thing where I thought, this is going to be the kind of weird shit, it isn't. It's just repetitious.
Yeah.
And I think, I like it. I find it hard to recommend it because... I do think it has a shelf life once you stop. Like, it's a good game to pick up. Like, it does things that in other games you'd think were glitches. Like, did you ever fire a car or get into a car with loads of, like, boost stuff on it, hit the boost, and you just, like, it looks like your car has glitched out. Like, no other game does that. And it's the same with the weather. There's no games doing that. But at the same time, it just falls short for me of being... But, you know, that's opinions. I don't know how it did, but we can get into news and talk about how Smash Brothers did, because it is the Switch's biggest UK launch yet in its first weekend of release. Thanks to Eurogamer, this story comes. Sold more physical copies than Zelda, Mario, and even the combined sales of Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee.
Wow.
It's the best UK launch for any game in the Smash series, 300% higher than the game's Wii U version. No shock there.
No.
60% higher than Smash Brothers Brawl on the Wii.
See, that's
just
bit...
that's just physical, by the way. That's just physical sales.
That is a bit of a surprise, because, I mean, considering how big the Wii was. I mean, like, the Wii, like, beating the Wii sales, I mean, that's a bit of a surprise. And I'll be honest, I think given the time of year it launched, I wasn't expecting it to be quite that big. Even, you know, despite it being Smash Bros., I think it was just the time of year I thought, oh, it might suffer. But, yeah, clearly not.
No, I mean, it's they needed it because they've got those targets to meet at the end of the year for the Switch. But the thing is as well is that the Switch has also kind of had a price cut without anyone noticing. It's like $299 now with a game.
Yes.
So, like, that's going to have helped. And obviously Smash had a bundle. And, like, everyone knew Smash was going to be big. And obviously Nintendo knew because of how much they were pushing it. To the people of us who at the time weren't that interested, like, I guess we were all a bit sick of it, but we've kind of got egg on our faces now because, again, smashed. You know, the UK's sales charts have been smashed.
Yeah.
I genuinely, talking about it makes me want to go and play it again. Like, right now, it's one of those weird games.
I may play it eventually.
Oh,
but...
No. You nearly broke my segue there, guys.
I'm good at that.
You are tempted then.
I know a few people have picked it up, so likely I'll end up playing it theirs at some point, and who knows, maybe I'll end up picking it up if it's if it hits the right spot.
It won't be discounted. But what is discounted? Far Cry New Dawn is a lower priced entry into the Far Cry series because it's a direct sequel to Far Cry 5. February the 15th, 2019, it was announced at the Game Awards. It's set, I believe, 17 years after Far Cry 5, and I'm not going to spoil it here, but basically they've kind of spoiled it with the trailer because they say it's like a kind of post-apocalyptic thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's still set in Hope County. It's still got like all the buddy system. I know that they've put in like a sidecar on a motorbike and your dog can now get in with you. So that's That's a positive change.
I mean, it just looks like more Far Cry, doesn't it? The stuff that it showed, it was just like, oh, but we've added in a few kind of zany bits, like the saw blade gun and stuff, and it was like, but I'm still on the thing of, I think it's too early. Far Cry needs a break.
I do as well, and the cynic in me suggests that, like, because they did this with Assassin's Creed, although not as, well, I suppose it is as quick, because it was literally a year later.
Yeah.
But, like, I hope they don't do what they did with Odyssey and, like, go full RPG, because if you're going to give me a Far Cry, I just want to shoot shit, you know?
Yes.
And the problem is that, and they've released it early enough, you know, or they're releasing it early enough in February, but because, like, not being funny, if you're going to offer me, like, a post-apocalyptic madcap first-person shooter, I'm afraid, as much as I love the Far Cry series, I'm going to be looking towards Rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that first game had a lot of potential. And not, again, Far, I'm sure, but the thing is as well, it has a bit of a slight connotation, Far Cry, a sort of non-numbered sequel, doesn't it? Where you think it is, you know, and they are using a reimagined version of the Far Cry 5 map, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I may give it a go, but I mean, I've not even finished Far Cry 5. So.
I will likely play it. I'm just not sure I will finish it.
Yeah.
Already, you know? I don't know. But there's been a lot of games announced for the end of year. Crash Team Racing, it's called Nitro Fueled. Now, I'm not one of these that goes mad over Crash.
I'm not.
Certainly not Crash Team. I'm sure it was a very good kart race, so I don't remember much about it. But I find it weird people getting excited about this in a world where Mario Kart 8 exists. So
I think it's just the Crash kind of craze, you know, because like Crash did really well. And I think it's almost like there is a subset of people that really want this, that, you know, it did have that kind of niche audience. But I think part of it is, I mean, again, maybe this is like the cynic in me. I think maybe they're going, right, let's get this out while people still like Crash. You know, people are still really hyped about Crash.
Who's developing it? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
It's got to be Toys for Bob, right? Because it's another Activision game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think... Do we know?
I have a feeling I've heard who it is, but I just don't remember.
I'm going to Google it, because I just... Yeah, same. I would think... We probably don't know, do we? Oh, it says Crash Team Racing developer. This is from comicbook.com. So that's probably a massive website. Blah, 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 blah. This is no mere port either. Beanox, who also brought us Amazing Spider-Man. Beanox. Okay. You familiar with Beanox?
Yeah, I mean, I remember that. Didn't they make one of the... Not the main Spider-Man. Was it like Shattered Dimensions or one of them?
They made Shattered Dimensions, they made Edge of Time, Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Skylanders, Trap Team. To be fair, they have been better. Of course they did Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
Wow.
Oh, okay, I'm back on board. I'm back on board.
I'll give them
I'm
that.
Back on board. But yeah, you know, I don't think it's a shock. People are high on Crash, as you say. A game that, again, isn't a shock, because I thought it would be announced at E3 this year and wasn't. A game that I am painfully excited to play, because it's one of my favourite fighting game series. I think you know where I'm going now, I guess.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11
was
announced at the Game Awards, but not just announced. It's also dated April. It's usually a May or April release for NetherRealm games. They like that time, right on the edge of the financial year. April 23rd, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch.
That's an interesting one.
I'll tell you where I'll be playing this, Gaz.
Not on the Switch.
Not on the Switch. I'm sure it will be fine, but I want to play this in 4K on my telly with the door shut, because even my kids they're probably old enough to play fighting games, but not this one. Because, I mean, shit.
I mean, was bloody brutal. I mean, 9 was brutal.
I mean,
brutal,
Mortal Kombat always is, but this somehow looks like they've gone up a level, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the end of that trailer was just like, oh, Jesus. You know, they went for it.
But, what a great trailer. I liked it.
I'm I'm well on board for this.
Because what this is going to be, and we don't know this, but I'm telling you that this is what it will be. It will be Mortal Kombat by way of Injustice 2. And by that, I mean it will have all the customization and stuff that they've done with that.
I'm happy with that.
Honestly, I wish NetherRealm made... It's not often I'll say this. I wish we got more NetherRealm games because their fighting game stories are the best.
Yep.
The best.
I said this recently. I think it might be on our Slack channel. It's like Mortal Kombat 9 is the template. Like, that was the thing that started proper fighting game stories. And, like, NetherRealm have just, like, they've nailed it more or less every time.
I mean, we're talking fighting game stories that... Like, they're hours long.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're not one... Oh, they're so good.
That's it. And that's on top of...
I've downloaded X because it's in Games Pass.
Yeah. I mean, their story modes are huge. And on top of all the other stuff, like the... what's it called? Is it just, like, the fight tower or something like that, you know? And a sort of arcade mode for each character. And there's so much... NetherRealm offers so much like value for money with their fighting.
Well, every
games.
Other fighting game has tried to ape it in their own way. Look, Soul Calibur tried, not for me. Street Fighter did try as well. I'm sure there's another game.
Dead or Alive did it as well. They
Dragon
like
Ball
the
Fighter
story
Z
more.
has a story mode with cutscenes and stuff. But NetherRealm are, I mean, let's just face it, they're the daddies, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, I'd almost forgot about Mortal Kombat because
I'd heard rumors that this was,
I think,
long
it was like,
in development
because it wasn't announced already. I just, you know, it just kind of switched off, and I think
NetherRealm weren't closing down and they weren't going to make Injustice 3. That will be in about 2 years' time.
They better give me Injustice 3.
You'll get Injustice 3, but it'll be next gen when you get that.
Yeah, more than likely.
Hype overload for that one. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Less interested but pleased that the Telltale's The Walking Dead... Well, is it Telltale anymore? I don't even know. Our news story says Telltale's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that right? Is it still called that? Anyway, the final season, Episode 3, releases next month on all platforms. Skybound Games have turned it round remarkably quickly. And I will say the trailer is one of those that made me actually want to get back into it. I haven't got time, but it's coming out on January the 15th. So given all the shit that's gone down, pretty impressive how, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I suspect how quick they've done it. A lot of it was in place already. You know, like,
was it though? Because I thought 2 was just finished. Because Telltale were, Seat of the Pants developer. And I thought 2 was just about done, which made you think that 3 was... I don't know. I guess we don't know. That's the truth.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, a lot must go into these because of obviously how your decisions affect everything.
Mm.
So, I don't know how long it takes to make one of these episodes. But I suppose at least it was... Maybe it was like it was already written. You know, like the whole series was written. It was just a case of putting it together.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean...
It's good. It's one of those kind of bittersweet stories, isn't it, really? Because it's just like, it's good that people are going to get to play this, but it's also just...
What if it's amazing?
I kind of hope it is.
But I mean, like, every aspect of it, like the engine, everything's tidied up. What if it's properly amazing?
That'd be interesting. I mean, like that Telltale engine was creaking, you know, very much
for
so.
Years.
But... If someone could come along and just tidy it up.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. You've got me thinking about that now.
Well, here's a statement, Gaz, that's going to get you thinking even more. In fact, you should be the one to say it, but you don't know what I'm going to say, so you can't read my mind. But here's a statement. The video game Below is out now, probably, when you're listening to this.
I was still kind of in shock when they announced that, you know.
The thing is, you know, it can never be quite as good as you want it to be, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
It'll probably
be good. I mean, I still expect it always looked good, you know. But
yeah,
there's always that chance that it could be, you know, it just doesn't hit expectations. But Game Pass.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I got Game Pass. When they've done that £1 offer for like the first month kind of thing, right. I did that to play a bit of Ashen, And then it's like, oh, also, you know, below is going to be part of Game Pass as well. So, oh, cool. So I could get to still, you know, people will get to play it a little bit first and then make up their minds if they really like it.
I mean, Game Pass right now, I also downloaded, like you say, Ashen, I downloaded MKX, I downloaded Onrush, Mutant Year Zero, like, bloody hell.
Yeah, it's, I think they're doing so well with Game Pass. I know people moan about it, people aren't that pleased about it. And it's some people, they're just a bit, they want Microsoft to just chill out a bit with it. Because it's kind of the thing that they're pushing most, aren't they, at the moment? It's But it's basically Netflix.
For games.
And I mean, given how Netflix is basically one of the biggest things in the world, when it comes to like TV, movies kind of thing, it's no surprise that Microsoft are going for it. And look at what they're doing. I mean, I'm very impressed with it. I was one of the people that was just like, not that bothered when it first announced. But now I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. If you've got an Xbox, even if you don't, you know, use the subscription all the time, you know, subscribe for a month at a time or whatever, there's so much to play.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, when you've got no time to play them, then, you know, it's kind of pointless. But at least you have got that option to subscribe when you want.
Your library.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that will be in our library, on April 2019, Super Meat Boy Forever has been given that release window via the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, which is a thing. Super Meat Boy Forever is... I think people will probably be listening to this go wondering why I sound so dour about it, but like every time I see it, it doesn't quite look like what I'm one of those awful people that if you were giving me Super Meat Boy 2, which is just Super Meat Boy's exact mechanics but with loads of new levels, very happy man.
Yeah. But
this looks like something else and I'm going to try it. That's the end of that sentence.
It's one of those games that I don't think is... Because they came out with it, it's Super Meat Boy Forever, and a few people were kind of like, oh, cool, you know, this is brilliant news. But I think a lot of people were just like, what's that? I don't think that many people even knew this game existed.
No, that's fair.
Which is, you know, I think Super Meat Boy needs a bigger audience.
It's on everything now. So
yeah,
I mean,
this might be the one to do it.
Maybe. And lastly this week, Monster Hunter, they had some sort of weird thing. Sounded like a Nintendo Direct for Monster Hunter, but not Nintendo. they've announced Monster Hunter World Iceborne expansion for autumn 2019 on PS4 and Xbox One. They also announced a crossover with The Witcher. I guess it's bringing like a Geralt skin to... They've done it before. They did like the DMC ones. They've done Street Fighter ones. Yeah. They did Horizon Zero Dawn. But yeah, like this is apparently going to make Monster Hunter World even bigger. Like new quest ranks, new map, new locations, new monsters, and more, they say. So, and there's also a Monster Hunter World trial beginning this week. I should listen to it. So, you know, I've not played Monster Hunter much since the last time we talked about it, so I can't add too much. I don't know that you or I are either the people to... You know,
no, but I think this is really good news though.
Yeah,
Monster Hunter World is a game they've been adding to it. To be fair, like all year.
Yep.
You know, here's new monsters and stuff like that. It's like they've, and you know, you've got these themed costumes and stuff. But yeah, I think the people that are still playing it, and to be fair, the people that still own it but might not be playing it, they'll see big new content. And you know, by the sound of it, this is massive as well. You know, it's like I think a fair few people are going to jump back in.
Indeed. Did you play it?
Only briefly at a friend's.
Right.
I liked it, but at the time I just don't think I've got the time for this, or at least the patience. But you know, at some point I may jump in, and if there's a trial, I might even give that a go, get to play a bit more of it.
Well, we move into questions this week, and the first one's from Thomas at LlamaFluff42, who says, a wee question for the pod, which, if any, of this year's games do you think we'll still be playing this time next year? It's hard to imagine ever putting Forza Horizon 4 down. Now, initially when I read that question, I was like, well, I know what I'll be playing in January. Of course I'll be still be playing them. Then I realised, no, this time next year.
Yeah. I could definitely see myself still playing Forza at this point next year.
So, not personally, but Monster Hunter World, I think, is a game.
Yeah.
Sea of Thieves?
Considering what they could add to it, you know.
Exactly. I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2, people might be still trying to complete. Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Huh?
Or yeah. No, so they don't count. I was going to say Fortnite and PUBG, but they don't count, I suppose, because they were last year's games.
I mean, Pokemon might still be going if they start adding more Pokemon to it.
I don't think they will.
But, I mean, I suspect the next year we'll get the actual Pokemon game.
I mean, I might be playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey this time next year. Hitman 2, if they add enough content to it, I think. I do love that game.
You do. You really do.
But, yeah, I don't know, because you can't say FIFA or COD because there'll be new ones of them out. So
It's a weird one because it's one of those years where there's been so many releases, but not many of them are like big hitters kind of thing. A lot of it's been small releases or it's been sort of stealth releases. And
Fallout, if they support it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that's one of those games which in sort of 6 to 8 months will be really good.
Mm.
They just need to fix it first. I mean, to be fair, I've not played it, so...
No.
I am going off other people's things, but from everything I have seen, I trust those people enough to say, yeah, this does need sorting out first.
Next question then. in a question that could not be more perfect for the people on this week's podcast. I'll give you the question, Gaz, and you can answer it. Tough Cub at Tough Cub says, given that God is infinite and the universe is also infinite, would you like any toast? So many people aren't going to get that.
It's a good one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. What's the answer, though?
Nah, but I just want to watch Red Dwarf.
Yeah, but I'd like toast. I'm going to just say that. Bold statement time. I like toast.
I do like
peanut butter on toast, white bread, just butter on toast, brown bread. I just like toast, Gaz. I'm sorry.
I can't have peanut butter, though. So,
what? We can't have this covered. You're allergic to nuts, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's the saddest thing I've heard this week.
Oh, even the smell of it it knocks me sick.
Oh, wait, hang on. You're not allergic, you just don't like them.
No. It's a horrendous sight if I have nuts.
So you are allergic and you don't like them anyway.
Yeah, well, it's kind of one because of the other, you know what I mean? It's like...
Wait, no, so you have a psychosomatic allergy to nuts?
No, I've had like nuts and it went horribly wrong, and since then it's made me feel sick, just the...
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have a similar thing with scrambled egg, actually, for a long time, that whenever you're poorly, it's like, oh, some scrambled egg would be good for your tummy sort of thing, and then I couldn't get the taste out of my mouth for days on end, but I'm fine now, I love eggs, it's just eggs are brilliant. Like, if you've got eggs in the house, you're golden, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do like toast, so my answer would probably be yes, Talky. I'd like some toast. And you know what? I feel like watching some Red Dwarf again, now you mention it. Darren Allais-Lorme, which is Olympic Marseille there, at ROTMM on Twitter, with the amazing Just Cause 4 Easter egg, Take On Me by Aha, you must have seen it. Do you have a favourite Easter egg or secret you've come across in video game land? For example, one that sticks in my mind is finding the crashed plane from Bioshock 1 in Bioshock 2 gave you shivers. Have you seen this Easter egg, by the way?
I have, yeah.
It's pretty good, isn't it? We should explain it, though.
Yeah, I was kind of really taken by surprise when I saw it.
Well, did you experience it in-game?
No.
No, me neither.
I didn't find it in the game. It was just, I saw the video, like, and probably everyone else, really. Yeah. And it was just like, holy shit.
Clever. That's,
it's a very, very specific Easter egg as well.
Yeah. But yeah, basically you go down like a half-finished staircase and it just turns into the video from Take On Me by Aha and a woman comes around the corner and dances with you. But as for Easter eggs, we racked our brains a bit. The only ones I could really think of off the top of my head that really stood out to me was the amount of Alan Wake ones in Quantum Break. Like, there's one where you're walking up onto the campus near the early of the game. It's just lots of Alan Wake stuff in Quantum Break.
Yeah.
And we both mentioned the Doom collectibles in the most recent Doom, like the little... But I guess, are they Easter eggs? I don't even know. Jill sandwiches in Dead Rising 1 was the one that stuck out.
Yeah. Same again for the Revelations 2. There was the...
Gotcha.
The mention of the sandwich again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it's a difficult question because it's a good question, but I can't, we really did struggle to think of just ideas for actual Easter eggs.
I feel like there's some in Hitman.
I did, like, it's one of those things where you know you've seen loads and you can't think of them when the time comes.
I mean, there was one like Altair was dead on the floor in The Witcher 2, Altair from Assassin's Creed, but I didn't really think, oh, that's a good Easter egg. You mentioned the crashed plane. There is one, I think it's Just Cause 2, where the beach from Lost, the TV show Lost, like it's got like the message that save us or help. I can't remember what it was, but that was pretty cool. I don't know. I don't feel like I can think of many recent ones. Like a lot of them are kind of like Bayonetta and DMC, where like the shop names are something. You know, like they're related. Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff.
Would you class the Halo mission on Forza Horizon 4 an Easter egg? Because, I mean, if we could count that, then I'd say that's cool. But
I personally wouldn't, because it's kind of a main mission, isn't it? You sort of... It's one of the... No, because that's one of the showcase missions, I don't think. I mean, Luigi's Dab in Mario Plus Rabbids. or the Luigi Stare, even, in Mario Kart 8. You know, that sort of stuff is...
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, it got old after a while when everyone was just like, hey, look, isn't this funny because he can do it to this or that? I was like, okay, great. Leave it alone.
You know, there's a few in Red Dead, actually. There's a few in Red Dead too. Like, I don't really want to say them because I think they're nice discoveries, but the house with the... I'm just going to say house with the meteor shape is a pretty cool thing to find. I don't know if it's related to anything. And there's also I found it by accident, and I found it again by accident in my second playthrough. There's something to do with aliens in that game, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I can't think of much specific. Send us your Easter eggs. Send us your favourite Easter eggs at God Is a Geek. Tweet us them.
And sure, we'll read them and go. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, there must be loads of GTA, right? GTA 5 and 4. There must be just shitloads.
Yeah.
You know, there must be. Last question this week is from at the last Metroid. That's Lee Garber, God Is a Geek alum. If Tears for Fears were to release a video game, what genre would it be? Survival horror.
I don't even know how to process that question.
No, it would be a Nier Automata 2. Possibly. I don't know. That's the best I can do. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Normally we have like a Patreon exclusive section this week where I would talk about something like The Incredibles 2, which I watched last night, but we don't have time this week because it is all hands to the pumps for Game of the Year podcasts. We are in the middle of recording them as we do this. We have done some. We've got lots left to do. That will all be dropping for you lovely people next week on a daily basis, 5 days. And then the week after, there'll be another podcast as well, a special one. I think special the right word? I don't know.
It's certainly a word.
It's certainly a word. But yeah, like the thing is as well, the reason I'm mentioning all this is because if you want to get the earliest access, patreon.com/godisageek gets you them. The Game of the Year stuff is going to be going like live. So the day one will be Saturday for Patreons. It'll be Monday for everyone else and so on. And, you know, everything will be kind of a few days in advance. And like the final podcast of the year will be going live on Christmas Eve, whereas for everyone else, it will be going live as usual on the Wednesday that week. So there's a lot of stuff you're getting in advance. And we also give away codes and stuff on our Patreon as well. So, you know, and it's also the way to get this podcast ad-free, because I think there should be ads appearing by now. I'm not sure. I will have to check into that. But other than that, that is the podcast for this week. Gary, it's been a pleasure speaking to you all year.
Wow. I didn't expect that one.
I've enjoyed
these podcasts. It's been great.
It has. I've enjoyed them. I sit here staring at my shelves of Amiibo for a full hour every week. And, and I hate to say it, but I think Smash Brothers has got me thinking about Amiibo again. And
you're thinking about Ridley.
No, not really. I'm thinking about the ones I missed, like Solera of, the Dark Souls one. And there was another one I think I missed. And I'm thinking about those and thinking, I was on a roll there just getting them when they come out and I let it slide. And what do I do about it? I don't know. I'm looking at my
slippery slope, this, Adam.
I know, but like, I'm looking at my Dr. Mario one and thinking, how the hell have I got Dr. Mario, but I haven't got Dark Souls one? What's going on here? I don't know. But yeah, listen, next week, Game of the Year time, we'll come out of it friends at the end, I'm sure. Hopefully you enjoy that. It's the tradition here at God is a Geek. I'm not going to lie, it's an absolute killer because it's the worst time of the year to do something that's so time resource intensive. But we've done it. Well, we haven't actually finished it, but we will have by the time you hear this. And, enjoy is what I'm saying, I think, is the short version of what I'm saying. Enjoy. Gaz, once again, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
And we will speak to you next week for Game of the Year podcast time because, shit is popping off. Shit is popping off.
We'll speak to you later. It's fighting season.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.